Fairfax News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, it is 59 days left until you know what, and yes, we are counting. Welcome to Countdown 2024. Nathan Hochman dispatched with George Gascon rather easily 3 weeks ago on his way to winning the Los Angeles County DA's race, as voters here showed their strong preference for a more strictly law and order approach for the county's chief prosecutor. But now comes the hard part for the district attorney-elect, delivering on his promises to bring down crime and make people feel safer as he oversees the biggest DA's office in the country. Nathan Hochman will join us on Countdown 2024, but first, this.
After Matt Gaetz removed himself from consideration to be the next U.S. Attorney General, President-elect Donald Trump moved quickly to replace him. Pam Bondi was his next choice. The two-term former Republican AG of Florida has extensive ties to the president-elect. She helped to defend Trump during his first impeachment. She's been a big booster of his false claims about unproven misconduct in the 2020 election, and Bondi has been the recipient of some well-timed political donations from Trump over the years. Bondi is expected to easily win confirmation in the Senate.
Now, even though the president-elect and his allies like to claim that he won in a landslide and has a sweeping mandate during his second term in office, it looks like Trump will win by the smallest popular vote margin since the 1880s. As vote counting continues at a kind of snail's pace here in California, Trump's lead over Kamala Harris continues to shrink. Most estimates have Trump winning by about 1.5 percentage points over Harris. Now, this debate over whether or not Trump won by a landslide could become more important in the near future as his administration adopts some of their more extreme positions, from tariffs to mass immigrant deportations.
Dana White, the chief executive of the Ultimate Fighting Championship League, who endorsed Donald Trump, spoke at his rallies and hosted the president-elect at several UFC fights, while now declaring that he's done with politics. White told The New Yorker that he's never doing this again, referring to his active role in the campaign, and called politics disgusting. White, who helped to make Trump cool with young UFC fans, still sounds like a strong Trump supporter, even if he really is done with politics. He says that Donald Trump is tougher and more badass than anybody, and that's a quote from him.
So he thinks politics is disgusting.
Yeah, apparently so.
Okay. When Nathan Hochman took on the incumbent DA, George Gascon, he made it clear that if he were to win, he would do just about everything differently than his predecessor. Now he will get his chance. District Attorney-elect Nathan Hochman joins us on Countdown 2024. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I don't want to, and we don't want to spend really any time or a lot of time in the Menendez thing, but I am going to ask you one thing about that. And I know you have to still, when you get into office, look over the material and then make a decision on what you want to do. But I am curious what kind of pressure is being exerted first on Gascon and now on you, because there is a kind of lobbying campaign on both sides, but mostly, I think, on the side of trying to get the Menendez brothers released. Do you feel that pressure, and does it play a role, should it play a role, in any decision you may make?
So I don't feel the pressure, and it won't play a role in any decision I make. Interestingly, the Menendez case is on three parallel tracks. The first track is a habeas track. This is a motion that got filed in May of 2023 that basically says that there's new evidence sufficient to undermine the confidence in the verdict, and it should be overturned. There's actually a hearing on that case next week. The second track is clemency. The governor at any time, since he's been in office since 2017, he could do it today, he could do it any time in the last 7 years, can grant clemency to the Menendez brothers and release them from prison. Then there's a third track, and it's resentencing. This is the track that George Gascon initiated 12 days before the election. He got a motion to deal with it in February of 2024, chose to sit on it till 12 days before the election when he was 30 points down and out of money, created a whole media circus around it, and now that resentencing motion is set for a hearing on December 11th. What he's trying to do in the resentencing motion is basically turn a life without the possibility of parole sentence into effectively life with the possibility of parole, and the current recommendation is 50 years to life. Right at this point, people ask, well, what position do I have? In order to have a position on this, you need to do a thorough review of the facts and the law. that in the Menendez case includes reviewing thousands of pages of confidential prison transcripts and records that I don't have access to, reviewing the transcripts from 2 months-long trials, talking to prosecutors, talking to law enforcement, talking to the defense counsel, talking to victim family members, in order to thoroughly review the facts and the law and then ascertain a position that you then can then defend in court. Problem with Gascon doing this 12 days before the election is that we don't know if his position is just or just a political ploy. That cloud over the credibility of the decision I will eliminate by actually doing the hard work to do this digging and really understanding of the facts of the law and then be in a position to take a position on December 11th. Or if I need some additional time, I won't do delay for delay's sake. I'll ask the minimum amount of time necessary, but then ask for that additional time and then weigh in with the court.
Just a quick follow-up on that. Given that you are a former federal prosecutor, have you ever done something like this, like looking at a case as a possible resentencing?
So not only am I a former federal prosecutor, but I'm a defense attorney, actually currently a defense attorney and have been one for over 24 years. So I have looked at situations where we have tried to get clients resentenced in the past. And again, if you're the master of the facts, if you're the master of the law, you're more able to convince a judge to go along with your position. I intend to be both in connection with the Menendez case, and I can't preview what decision I'll be able to take because I don't have access to the records at this point.
Okay, we're talking now with Nathan Hochman, the district attorney-elect for Los Angeles County. Okay, well, let's put the Menendez thing aside now. You come into office with some tougher laws in the state of California now in terms of what you can and can't do for certain people accused of certain crimes. What can voters expect in, and I hate to put arbitrary time periods on this sort of thing, but I will anyway. What can they expect, say, in the first half year to see?
So here's what they can expect. We're going to go back and actually have the DA do his job. And by that, I meant that the prior district attorney had issued on his first day in office 9 special directives that predetermined that certain crimes and certain criminals would not be prosecuted, even if the facts in the law would so justify a prosecution. For instance, juveniles who steal just under $950 and commit a misdemeanor, he said would never be prosecuted. Certain uses of the gun enhancement in connection with violent crimes would not be prosecuted. Gang enhancements against violent gang members who engage in violent actions as part of their gang activity would not be prosecuted. So what I will do is eliminate these prohibitions on prosecution, but not substitute one extreme policy with the extreme policy of mass incarceration. Another policy that didn't look at the facts in the law was trying to put as many people in jail as possible. The approach we take overall, I've called the hard middle of the hard work middle, because you got to do the work. You got to treat each case individually, look at the individual defendant and their background, the crime committed, and the impact on the victim to determine who the true threats are to our public safety and need to be behind bars. Those are often the repeat offenders, and Proposition 36 is focused on those repeat offenders. However, for the ones that aren't, your first-time nonviolent offender, they still have to pay a debt back to society if they violate society's laws. But that's where non-prison alternatives come into play. Community service, restitution, pay it back if you stole something. Or if you have a serious drug addiction, a diversion program that gives you a choice. Go to prison or do an 18-month rigorous rehab program, which if you finish one day at a time, will give you a certificate and wipe the crime off your record. So that's what I anticipate happening in the first 6 months, is we're going to go back to doing our job, and you won't ever hear from law enforcement an excuse that our hands are tied by the DA's office and these extreme policies, and therefore they're not investigating a case or bringing a case. Their hands won't be tied. My message to law enforcement, my message to anyone who's victimized is, look, if they can build that case beyond a reasonable doubt with legally admissible evidence, the DA's office will give each and every one of those cases a fair shake.
You brought up Prop 36. Given that you've gotten that green light now from the voters for stricter penalties for repeat thefts, drug offenses, walk us through how you would handle those cases.
Certainly. Proposition 36 said, and I'll focus on theft and drug use first, that if you're convicted 3 times, that means that and so much of these convictions have not happened in the last 4 years because of George Gascon's blanket ban on actually prosecuting these cases. But if you're convicted three times of stealing just under $950 and the proposition allows it to be aggregated, so if you steal $900 on one day and $100 on the next day, that can be considered $1,000 and a felony. But assuming you have three convictions, the third conviction can be felony eligible, prison eligible, but it still requires a judge to actually sentence you to a felony in prison. It's not like the DA can make that decision for the judge. Same thing on drug use. If you're using meth, heroin, fentanyl, now police officers don't have to walk by and do nothing. They can go ahead and enforce the laws. But again, it requires that third conviction before the court can actually order treatment, or a fourth conviction would actually order jail time. So again, it's targeting the repeat offenders. They estimate about 20% of the people are committing about 60% of the crimes. So if you can go after those repeat offenders, and the other tool they add is to go after the fentanyl poisoners. And I use the word poisoner instead of drug dealer on purpose. 2 milligrams of fentanyl will kill you in 2 minutes. It's the number one killer of 18 to 35-year-olds out there. And the people that are peddling that poison, I have no sympathy at all for. While we certainly will use a hard middle approach on them, they should understand that I view that as murder, and that we will take the appropriate action against murderers.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Nathan Hochman, the new district attorney of Los Angeles County, remaining with us for the duration of Countdown 2024. We will be right back.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero.
And we continue our discussion in studio with Nathan Hochman, who is the L.A. County District Attorney-elect. That's a mouthful. Eventually, it'll just be District Attorney. Drop the elect part. Immigration deportation. This is a huge issue for California, for Southern California. Is there a role for the L.A. County District Attorney's Office in that, and what would that be?
So there is a role within that. You know, it's interesting. L.A. City recently passed a sanctuary city ordinance, and I haven't had a chance to study all the details of that ordinance, but you're certainly aware that California, back in 2017, passed SB 54, making the entire state a sanctuary state, an issue that got challenged in the courts. The courts affirmed it. And so the issue, but it had some interesting carve-outs for violent crimes and serious crimes. Effectively, both the sanctuary state and the sanctuary city legislation will deal with the ability of local law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration officials with these carve-outs for violent crimes and serious crimes. So as the DA, my job is to uphold the law, both the California law, the federal and state constitutions. That's exactly what I'll do. So if people commit crimes in this jurisdiction, they will be prosecuted and held accountable for that action, whether they're documented or undocumented. If, for instance, the immigration authorities have a warrant for someone's arrest, that warrant can be legally executed and the person can eventually get transferred over from local to federal custody. So whatever the laws are in effect at the time, those will be the laws that I'll be enforcing.
Let's talk a little bit about homelessness. What, if any, role would there be for the LA County DA's office if cities in Los Angeles County take a more aggressive approach to sweeping homeless camps?
The DA has to be part of the solution, and the DA's office can't do it itself. The DA's office doesn't build houses, give jobs, home care, or education. But the DA's office can work with the parts of the city and the state and the county that do exactly that, and the nonprofits. So, for instance, there's a team out there called the Homeless Outreach Services Team, the HOST or HOST team. It's a combination of deputy sheriffs that are trained to deal with the homeless, partnered with members of the Los Angeles Homeless Service Authority, the Department of Mental Health, Public Works, Vocational Services, and they go out to homeless encampments as a group, execute an 8-week usually program involving 5 points. They first identify everyone there. They treat them compassionately. They say, "Hi, I'm Bob from the host team. What's your name? Where are you from?" Then they come back the next day and the next day after that, building trust. The second thing they do is they assess the needs. Is it a vet that needs to get to the VA? Is it someone who just lost a job? They need a job. Is it someone with a mental health issue or a drug addiction that needs those type of services? The third point is they do outreach. They actually try to pair the homeless person with the service that they need. But the fourth and the fifth aspect are they post a 14-day sign that says they're coming in, and 14 days later they come in and move their stuff to a, usually to a warehouse. Interestingly, they have moved thousands of people over the last 7 years, and they've only had to arrest two, proving that if you do treat the homeless compassionately, with respect, explain to them what's going on, they will respond to that type of outreach, move off of public facilities and parks and rivers and beaches. These are the folks that dealt with Venice Beach. They dealt with the homeless encampments in front of the VA and the Rio Hondo River underneath the 101 freeways. And that is where I see law enforcement and the DA's office playing a constructive role in dealing with the homeless.
A lot of people in the DA's office, as you know, they wanted Gascon out and they wanted you in. Now they get their wish. But is there the danger that you'll end up having a lot of people who won't say no to you when they need to say no to you?
If they know me well, then that won't be the danger. I do my best not to surround myself with yes people. Yes people don't help me actually be a better DA. I'd rather have bright, talented, diverse, honest people that if I'm going down a direction they think is the wrong direction, they tell me. I am not afraid to admit if something's not working, that it's not working. But as importantly, I will seek the solution that works better. And not only that, but I will give credit for the people who actually come up with the better solution, especially if it's not me. Because at the end of the day, there's a mission. And the mission is to bring safety, justice, and do it in the best way possible for all the residents of LA County. And what I'm counting on is the 750 deputy district attorneys, the 200 or so members of the Bureau of Investigation, the support staff, to call it like they see it and bring their collective thousands of years of wisdom and experience to bear in helping me be the best DA possible.
Former DA Jackie Lacey endorsed you. She's also talked about kind of what she thinks you should be doing once you're in office, one of those being having prosecutors go back to parole hearings with victims. Is that kind of something on your early to-do list?
That's a day one activity for me. And by that, I mean this. For decades, prosecutors used to go with victim family members who'd suffered a son or a daughter or a parent who was murdered when the murderer was trying to get out of prison early in front of a parole board. The murderer had their own lawyer. The victim family used to have a prosecutor because the prosecutor gets access, unique access, to the information being considered by the parole board that the victim family doesn't get access to. Gascon, first day, first hour, first email, banned his prosecutors from going with victim families to these parole hearings, probably his most heartless policy. I have talked to these victim families and their groups, and I said, look, the DA's office will be your champion again, because they've got no one else in the system who is actually going to represent them if it's not the DA's office. And we will go back into those parole hearings from day one, represent them in their interests, and make sure that the parole board has the full information in making its decision.
All right. Nathan Hochman, District Attorney-elect of LA County, remaining with us to finish off today's edition of Countdown 2024. Next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of Countdown 2024, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
Nathan Hochman, the next District Attorney of Los Angeles County, remains with us to close out today's show. You talked to one of our colleagues, Emily Valdez, and mentioned that you don't sleep a lot. How much sleep do you normally get?
Thankfully, it's somewhere in the 5 to 7 hour range. But this is an opportunity of lifetime. Being the DA of Los Angeles County, I don't like to sleep. It is too much stuff to do, too many great things to accomplish. Can't wait to get started on December 3rd. So
you're not going to sleep at all?
Sleep is like an okay. option. My wife, it drives my wife crazy. She's a fan of sleep, certainly her sleep. But yes, this is that exciting a job.
Is it kind of par for the course, though, just being a lawyer, you know, that you got so much to read and so much to do that there really isn't the time?
If you want to do your job well, that's exactly how you have to approach it. That you have to be the most informed person in any court you go into, in any meeting you go into. It takes a lot of work, but I'm prepared to do it.
You mentioned, of course, that you've been both a prosecutor and now a defense attorney. Well, now DA-elect, but still a defense attorney. How does it shape you as a the key highest legal power in the county of Los Angeles, having had both sides of that?
I think it's incredibly important because I've spent the last 24 years as a defense attorney really making sure the presumption of innocence is respected, really making sure the government proves its case in every element of every crime charge beyond a reasonable doubt. Does it to a jury of 12 people and does it unanimously? You know, this is the protections that the U.S. system has. And by the way, if you go to Europe, Asia, Africa, they presume you guilty and you have to prove your innocence. We have an amazing system here, but it requires people to be very vigilant, very zealous on both sides of the aisle. So as now with a prosecutor's hat on, I welcome good defense counsel coming into court and making their best arguments. I'll make sure that all the prosecutors are well-armed to make their best arguments right back.
Nathan Hochman, DA-elect for Los Angeles County, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up on Monday's Countdown 2024, leaders and big thinkers in the Democratic Party are calling for an urgent shift to adopting and communicating more populist policies, this in an effort to win back the working class voters that left the party in favor of Donald Trump. So we will talk with a former labor secretary and liberal economist about what that shift might look like. If you missed this show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All you have to do is search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.